So some of you are normally here, some of you are visiting. Normally, on a normal Sunday, the third grade and younger would go out and do a special activity, but we want everybody to be part of the service today. So you're all going to go back and be with your parents, and you just try and listen to what I'm saying, okay? I think you'll find it interesting, especially when I start talking about zombies. All right, so be listening for the zombies this morning. All right, you can go back to with your parents. Well, I encourage you to find your sermon notes. They're just a little helpful guide to keep track of what's going on. You can make some notes of things you want to remember. There's some fill-in-the-blanks that might help you just say, oh, well, hey, I want to remember this word this time. Keep tracking with it. But before we get going into this, I just want to say a word of prayer. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this morning, for your word, for your truth, and for this opportunity to be together. In Jesus' name, amen. So what's the big deal about Easter? What's the big deal? What's going on? What's happening? Well, that was a question that a large crowd was asking. This large crowd had heard about this man who was killed, even though he didn't seem to have done anything wrong. And then there were all these rumors that he was back alive, and there were these groups that were getting together and praying, and strange things were happening in the city of Jerusalem. And this crowd gathered, what's going on? And one of these men who had been with Jesus all the way along, like in his closest inner circle, one of these men who had seen everything that had happened, who really came from nothing, and all of a sudden was thrust in front of this crowd to answer what's going on. This man was Peter. And this is what he says to that crowd. Peter gets up, and is recorded in Acts, the second chapter of Acts. He says, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know." You already know this. They had heard about this. They had seen some of this. "This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." This is the word of the Lord. So that's great, but like we often do around here, I ask, so what? What does this have to do with your life? The life you're living today in 21st century America, what does this have to do with it? Well, in this story, we're hearing about a brand new Jesus, a Jesus who was resurrected to a new way of life. Same soul, same spirit, different being. It's sort of like Jesus 2.0. You know, we had 1.0 and we got 2.0. And God wants you to become you 2.0. The next you. A you made new. So if you follow along in the sermon notes, you can write the word new in there. And when I say upgrade and go 1.0 to 2.0, sometimes that's a little bad taste in our mouths. Anybody have your phone change and you didn't like the change? Okay. Anybody have a mother? No, okay. I'm going to keep doing this until everybody raises hands. Who has ever had a pet? There we go. Anybody have a change on their phone that they didn't like? I thought so. Yes. Yeah, so upgrades don't always have a good reputation, but a really good upgrade gets rid of stuff that didn't work so well and replaces it with stuff that actually works. A good upgrade is an improvement. But to have that improvement, you've got to get rid of some functions. You've got to get rid of some features. There's changes that happen. There's got to be out with the old to get in with the new. And if you leave too much of the old, it just doesn't work well. I haven't done this in years, but I used to do a lot of body work on cars. I still have two cars in the garage that I hope to do body work on someday. But I used to do a fair amount. And if you do any body work on cars, you know one thing. You have to get rid of the rust. You can't just cover it over. You can't sand it down and just put Bondo over it. The rust works its way back out. You got to get rid of all of the rust. It's sort of like a moldy container in your refrigerator. I could have you put up your hands for that one too, but I bet you know, many of you know that. You know, that you've got that moldy container. You don't just dump out the food and stick your next leftovers in there. No, you scrub it, you clean it, you get all the junk out, and then you can reuse it. So that's what we're talking about with this sort of newness of getting rid of the old and getting on with the next. And we've been talking for a number of weeks here about motivation. And the idea of motivation being when we're doing the right thing, it just flows, it just comes, we just go, we just do. But we've got to give up some things so that we can have that motivation. We've got to give up some things so that we can get going with the right stuff, the good stuff, the stuff that can get you going and keep you going. Because when we get together, when we look at God's Word, we should have some change in our lives. That's what we're talking about. I just want to do a quick recap of the last 6 weeks, really quick. These were just six things that we said, let's work at giving these things up. Fear of death, avoiding pain, victimhood mentality, looking good to others, believing lies, copying others. Pretty much all of those can seem like a good idea. I mean, well, yeah, who wouldn't be afraid of death? Who wouldn't want to avoid pain? Who doesn't recognize their victim sometimes? Who doesn't want to, you know, look good for others? Well, believing lies. Yeah, but some of our lies are so believable. And copying others. You know, well, hey, there's a good example, but there's so many bad examples. All of these done wrong are a trap. All of these are done wrong and become a trap. There's a better way, and I'm not going to tell you that. You've got to go back and listen online. So all those sermons are online if you want to hear what those answers are. But the idea of things to give up that keep us trapped, hold us back, and keep us from just moving on with the best life that we can possibly have. And that brings us to today, this morning, Easter morning. Talk about good. Easter morning, conquering death, victory over the grave. So let's think a little bit about this. That Jesus leaves that grave by the power of God. Only God can bring the dead out of the grave. You can write that word grave in there. That's the opposite of new. Grave, death, dying. That's what God's power can do. But there's some problems when things come out of the grave on their own. There are things that should stay in the grave that shouldn't come out on their own. And do you know what that's called? I gave you a hint with those kids. It's called zombies. All right, when things that should stay in the grave come out of the grave on their own without the power of God, you get a zombie. And zombies lately have gotten really, really popular. There's this little window of vampires for a while, but now it's all zombies. I mean, we've been watching Rick just go through a horrible life for the last 7 years with The Walking Dead. I mean, the zombies, and then we've got Z Nation and iZombie and Zombieland, and well, while we're on sort of the lighter side of zombies, Shaun of the Dead. But that came from Dawn of the Dead. And we've got big zombie things of World War Z where they move really fast, and Resident Evil and 28 Days Later. All of these are in the last 15 years or so of this fascination of what happens when things come out of the grave that should have stayed in the grave. Now, I don't want to get too graphic because this should be a PG or maybe G-rated sermon. All right, but did you know that 50 years ago that wouldn't have made any sense? 50 years ago there was no PG, G, R, X, none of that. That started November 1st, 1968. Noah came out October 1st, 1968, the original zombie movie, Night of the Living Dead. And everybody freaked out and said, we need a better rating system. But zombies, they're make-believe monsters. Make-believe is useful story element to see how people react to them, see the human condition. But they're based on this idea of what should be left in the grave coming out. There are things that should be left in the grave. And when they are not left in the grave, it isn't pretty. It's ugly. It's not what we want. So in our lives, we need to take the junk, the garbage, the sin, the rebellion, the hate, the greed, the pain, the hurt, the bitterness, the envy, the past patterns, the habits, the fears, and let them die. We need to leave the junk in the ground and don't go back to it. God will take what truly matters, what truly lasts, and that is what God's going to pump this life, you 2.0, into. God's going to take your soul, pour in His Spirit, and you can leave the past in the past. There's an idea in the Christian faith, and there's a fancy churchy word for this, of leaving the past and turning to God, and that word is repent. Repent. It means to turn away from what you're doing that's not God's stuff and to turn to God. That's the idea of repenting, of turning to God, doing it God's way, and in that we have to leave the junk behind. We have to leave the garbage behind. Peter explained what had happened to the large crowd in Jerusalem, and they said, "What do we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." They believed. They said, "Wow, we've seen all this stuff, and it's come together. He explained it. It makes sense." They believe. What do? We need to repent. We need to turn to God. We need to be baptized. Baptism, it's not some special magic. It's an outward sign of what God's doing inwardly. It's a sign and seal of God working on a human in our lives. That's day one in this transformation of you 2.0. When we believe, we repent, and we're baptized, we receive. Some of you, you're baptized as an infant. Well, how does that work? Well, at some point you do confirmation, and you say, "Yes, this is what I believe." You're confirming that. That's day one. But from there, we need to keep going. We need to move forward. We need to not relive the past, but go into the future of God. So you can write that word relive in there. And I want to think about that word relive just a little bit. If you want the best things in life, there are things that have to die in you. Things that have to be left behind. You can't keep reliving the past. I mean, it's not really a word we say very much, relive. I mean, let's do it again. Well, if we're living again in terms of the past, that's just wrong. That's just, zombie-ish. That we need to instead live again in the future. Let's just see what happens here. Just go ahead and click on that next thing. There we go. Our little zombie thing. All right, if we are reliving again and again and again the past, we're bringing up this thing and we're making little zombies in our lives. Little things that we don't want, that should be dead and left behind. And you can refer to all those movies of how to kill them. All right. But that which should be dead, if you're bringing it back to life, if you're reliving, reanimating it, ew, stop it. Bury it in the past. Let God take care of it. Leave it behind. We need to live, not relive. But one of the wonderful things about the Bible is it's filled with how-to. It's filled with this is, and there's a bit of thou shalt not, but there's a good amount of how-to. What do we do? And Colossians speaks to this. It's a letter written from Paul, who was a persecutor of the church, had a radical change in his life, became a Christian, and he's giving advice to these churches. And he says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than Christ. So see to it that you don't get led astray, that you don't say, well, it must be, I feel like it could be, well, we've always done it that way. No, rather, have your life on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. Notice it says, in Christ it lives. Firm belief that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and continues to live. Lives in bodily form, and you have been given the fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In Him, you were also marked in putting off the sinful nature, not with a mark done by hands of men and people, but a mark done by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, raised with Him through your faith in the power of God who raised Him from the dead. Right there, we see that idea of us being buried with Christ. Christ went into the grave. We can be buried with Christ and then allow God to bring us back into life, leaving behind the junk, the garbage, the hurt, the pain, the rebellion. We need this in our lives. We need this. It's forgiveness. It's reconciliation. It's being made right. Otherwise, we're carrying around all this baggage with us, all this luggage. It's weighing us down. A lot of you and a lot of us, a lot of me, have had challenges in our lives that if we just hold on to, it just weighs us down. You can bring a little luggage with you. It's called memories, all right? Have a carry-on. But don't have an entire SUV full of garbage, of luggage, of baggage. You know, don't be a hoarder of your past. Bring a little light carry-on of good memories and things you've learned from that maybe weren't so good. But we need to have this forgiveness. Because if we don't, we're just living with guilt. And people say, well, guilt's just this thing people put on you. Guilt's just this social construct of how we should feel. Well, no, it's across cultures. It's across nations. It's across races. This guilt thing, people just come up with naturally. We don't have to be taught how to be guilty. And the answer to guilt is not denying it, is not sugarcoating it. The answer to guilt is forgiveness, of making things right. When we do this, when we accept God's love for us, when we say, wow, He's got the power over the grave, and I'm going to leave that bad stuff in the grave, be raised to new life, then we need to live forward. Go forward and not go back. Again, great advice from Paul, writing to another church. And he's writing to the Philippians this time. And he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is, what's that word? Whatever is, if anything is, or think about these things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And then the peace of God will be with you. True, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, praiseworthy, excellent. Put it into practice. Think on these things. Focus on the good. See what God's doing. Discover what you've learned and learn from it and apply it. Follow godly examples. And then you can be motivated. Then you can be doing things that truly matter and truly will make a difference. Our motivation needs to come from not reliving our past, but going into a new tomorrow. Say, I'm trusting God with this. I'm trusting God with my life. I'm leaving that past. I'm allowing it to die. And I am moving forward with God. This is the message contained in this Easter story. Peter's trying to explain. Paul's trying to explain. I'm trying to explain. It's been proclaimed through the generations of we can be forgiven. We can be given new life and a new tomorrow. We're not bound by our past anymore. Over the coming weeks, I'm going to be launching into a new sermon series in 2 weeks of making a life. Of, okay, we're leaving this behind, but how do we make a new life? How do we take our values and our faith and have them play out in our family and our lifestyle? So I invite you to come as we go deeper into this. and see what God's wisdom has for us to today. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much that you are a God who loves us as much as you do, sending your Son into this world as not only an example, but a sacrifice, the gift of new life. Lord, I just pray that we may feel this, embrace this, and be changed by this. In Jesus' name.